what we've been doing a series on here, the fruit of the Spirit, right? And we've been doing a series verse by verse through Galatians, and we got to the fruit of the Spirit, and we just kind of sat down there. We're taking them one at a time, except today we're going to take two at a time, and they both kind of represent our mothers. So, you know what? He's going to read the text for me today. But he's not going to read it. He's going to quote it. Because, you know, Blair said, I don't need no Bible. I know it. Amen? Bible memorization, that's what it'll do for you, isn't it? CTS, SCM, that's why you want your kids in it. They'll learn this stuff. Okay, would you all stand with us? And Blair, I'm just going to let you read to us the fruit of the Spirit. Are y'all ready? Here we go.
The fruit of the Spirit, Galatians 5:22-23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Fruit of the Spirit, Galatians 5:22-23.
Amen. Thank you, Blair. Thank you, Blair. Amen. Amen. Pray with me. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for your word that is alive and powerful. It's not like reading anything else, Lord. It's alive. And thank you for Blair and for him committing that to his memory and to his heart. And pray that you'd bless all of our kids and stir up us parents, Lord. Help us. Where the kids go on to the SEM activities and actually get up in front of crowds and do the competition stuff and all of that, it doesn't matter. Lord, what matters is that they commit your word to their heart. And this is just something that makes it fun and exciting. And I pray that we would all and that all of our parents would help our kids to commit your word to their hearts. Lord, we realize the things that they learn in these early years stick with them for the rest of their lives. It's so crucial that as parents we have our kids in the word and in Sunday school and children's church and church, Lord, because those years we won't get them back. And Lord, I just want to thank you again for our mothers. I want to thank you for your scripture today as we look at two aspects of this that really apply to all of us, but especially our mothers. We want to thank you for it, and we just ask for you to speak to us, Lord. Help us to listen. Open the eyes of our hearts, Lord. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Put that right there. All righty. Okay. Yes, we're going to talk about two aspects of this, and like I said, it has a lot to do with our mothers. We've talked about love, joy. Help me out here. Peace. And then last week, we talked about long-suffering or patience, as it is. And so, but today we're going to look at two aspects of this, kindness and goodness that you saw there. Now, if you're reading the old King James, drawing a blank here. Gentleness, right? No? Yeah, gentleness. Yeah, gentleness and goodness. Gentleness, kindness, goodness, and then later we're going to have gentleness or meekness. They're all different words, and I think most all of us know that the Bible wasn't written in English to begin with anyway. It was the New Testament was written several thousand years ago in Koine Greek, and a lot of years later it was translated into English. But so, and since every word of it is inspired, I want to know what those words are, and I want to know what they mean. And I'm going to tell you that these two words are really close. They're very similar. One flows into the other, kindness and goodness. And I'm going to show you why that probably that in one instance, kindness was translated gentleness. So I think this is appropriate because I said these are two qualities that are, you know, our mothers really model for us. You know, God really uses our mothers to teach us about these like no one else. Now, it's not that us dads and everybody else can't do this, because we can. It is part of the fruit of the Spirit. Remember, it's fruit of the Spirit. It's singular, not plural, because it's not like you can just pick and choose which one of these you want. This is the fruit that the Holy Spirit produces in our lives. And so if I'm kind of running a little low or a little short on kindness and goodness, I've got good news. It's because our God, who owns everything, and our God, who supplies everything we need, it says, I'm going to supply that in and through your life. As you walk in the Spirit and not selfishly in the flesh, this is going to happen. So it's a very much of a possibility. And I'm going to fight with this microphone a lot today. Something's going on with it. It keeps trying to jump off these little bitty ears that I have. I think Curtis must have come by and put it on again. He always messes this thing up every time he wears it. Anyway, so What about these two words? They both express moral excellence, tenderness, and gentleness, goodness. But Paul used a synonym, not these two words, but he used yet another word that's similar to them when he was writing to the Thessalonians. He said to the Thessalonians, he said in 1 Thessalonians 2:7, he said, "But we were gentle among you, just as a nursing mother cherishes her own children." So he said, even as I was there trying to lead you to the Lord and really their pastor, he said, "I was gentle. We were gentle among you, like a nursing mother cherishes her own children." And see, this is involved in what God's wanting to bring through our life as we, I mean, he's using synonym here to what we're talking about, but it expresses part of what this son, S-O-N, ripened fruit is all about, you know, that comes through our life. And as I said, one of the first places that we learn this is from our mothers. I'm just saying that because men have to work a little harder at this. We're wired differently, right? The tenderness, the kindness, the goodness, right? I may be totally out to lunch here, maybe. I don't know. But you guys are just kind of looking at me like blank. But nobody, as I said, is a better model of this and that God can use to show this to us than our mothers. So happy Mother's Day. But guys, this applies to us too. The Holy Spirit, we got to discipline ourselves. Maybe a little more sometimes. We got to discipline ourselves to let the Holy Spirit lead, to yield to the Lord, and discipline ourselves to resist sometimes our harsh natures and let this come through. But it's going to happen because God says it. It's part of the fruit of the Spirit, right? Yeah. But as I said, mothers are powerful models of kindness and goodness. I was blessed to grow up with three generations of mothers around me. I have my mama, and I wish she could be here today. Yeah, she's in Rosebud, but you know, I've already made sure she knows how much I love her today. But my mama, and I had two grandmothers when I was growing up, Meemaw and Mamaw, right? Meemaw on my mama's side, and Mamaw, my daddy's side. And then, not only that, I had my granny. That'd be my great-grandmother on my mom's side, my mom's dad's mom. You got all this? It'll be a test later. Anyway, Meemaw was just down the hill on our dirt road, just down the hill. And I was just a little bitty guy. I could ride my bicycle and coast all the way down there. I just had trouble getting back home. Had to walk it up there. I remember when I got old enough, I could ride my bike up the hill. That was like great. It was like when I could finally jump and touch the ceiling. And then there, you know, some of you are talking about the kids. One of your moms saying, "There's just spots all over my ceiling. You got where you can jump and touch it." That's just awesome. But anyway, then Mamaw Moon was just a few miles away, and Granny was right next door to us. I mean, right next door. In fact, I can remember as a kid, summer mornings and my windows being up, I could hear Granny over there. I could hear her humming. She just kind of, you know, and I could hear her singing. I could still, it's just real vivid in my mind. I could hear it just coming from her kitchen all the way into my room. I love having those memories of having these grandmothers, mother all around me when I was growing up. They were all super involved in my life. I'm just giving a little testimony here. I'm going to come back to our text in just a moment. Besides having a mother that's like what I would call the epitome of an all-star mom, okay? You guys, most of you have met my mom, and you understand. Granny was always there, too. In fact, Granny made sure she pretty well kept involved in anything that was going on. Granny, I'm not saying that Granny was nosy, but I'm not saying that she wasn't either. I mean, you couldn't get much past Granny. I mean, I can remember as a kid, I would run outside, you know, in the summertime, and Granny'd be on her porch and hollering, "You better put a hat on that head." And then I remember in the wintertime coming out of the house and going to the dairy barn. In those days, was kind of like behind Granny and Gramps' house, the old barn. Well, it's still there, but, you know, we built a new one a long time. But anyway, I would be headed maybe over there. It'd be cold, and she'd be knocking on the window from the back porch. Better put a hat on that head. And, you know, I'm sure Granny saved my life many times by getting me to put a hat on my head, because it's like something bad's going to happen if you don't get a hat on that head. And then us Moon Boys used to run barefooted in the summertime. In fact, you know, if we weren't having to do work or something, we would just barefoot all the time, you know. And I can't even walk outside at all now. It's just like painful. But anyway, I can remember my feet getting so black on the, can I get a witness on this? I mean, my feet getting so black on the bottom. I remember one time my mom had me in a bathtub when I was just a little guy, and she took that Comet powder and a brush. I remember that. I really do. But Granny, when it started getting toward dark and we were running around out there, you could always count. In fact, sometimes me and my brother just kind of have a little bet going between ourselves about how long it would take before Granny would holler this, "Watch out, you're going to step on a snake." I mean, snakes were always everywhere. But I want to tell you, my granny was a snake killer. I mean, I saw her as just one of my early memories that I have of snakes is you know, do we ever have up in this area what we call spread natters? Those little bitty snakes that they kind of spread out like a cobra, spreading adder. But when you're from Arkansas, it's a spread natter. Right? It was that here too. Good. Granny, when one swing, whoosh, with a hoe, the head come right off of that thing. It didn't matter if it's a friendly snake or not. But snakes were always everywhere, and she made sure that we knew about it. And any time we carried anything in our hand, she was always hollering from her porch, "You're going to poke an eye out." She saw me with the BB gun shooting it in the direction of my brother. "You're going to put his eye out." And, you know, I was talking about fireworks last week. When Granny saw one time, I had picked up my mom and dad. I don't know if they still know about this, but I picked up the Roman candle. Don't tell me you never did this. It says not to. And that's why I'm glad we got children's church going, because kids, this is a bad idea. Don't ever, ever do this kind of thing, because they could backfire. But, you know, you try to shoot it over your, Galen, I know you did this. But to his neighbors. But anyway, that you know, you want to shoot that thing, and you know, besides her hollering that it could backfire, guess what? That could put your eye out. I remember being about 5 years old and going to Searcy with Granny and Gramp, and I saw a guy and he had a big patch over his eyes, and I thought, it happened. I don't know what she would tell Memphis. I really don't. You know, knowing Memphis, he'd probably say, "I only got one to worry about. It won't matter." But but that was Granny. Granny always there, always involved. And you know what? I sat by Granny most of the time at church. I was Granny's boy. I was. And she knew how to keep me out of trouble. I remember many times being in church, laying my head in Granny's lap. If I was a good boy, Granny would give me, she spoke my language, she'd give me some candy. Or she, I had to be good, give me some, Granny could get me to behave. She was always around. I'll never forget, though, one time we built the new church when I was about 10 years old. We had a fellowship hall and we had a kitchen. We didn't have that in our old little bee tiny church. And I got back there and I always liked to smell of coffee. And I'd got some coffee grounds out of fellowship hall and I stuck it in my lip like a dip of snuff. And I'd walked around and I went into the sanctuary and Granny saw me and she thought that I, as young boys in Arkansas, especially during those years, were prone to do, had tobacco in my mouth. She thought that, and I'm telling you, talk about Granny Goose. She about flogged me, you know, and I had to let her smell my breath and everything, but I was still in trouble, but not as bad a trouble as it would have been. But Granny actually did save me from a few whippings. She might have even caused a few one time. Dad told me that I was acting up, and Granny was in the background saying, "Never had a kid, I couldn't make mine. Never had a kid, I couldn't make mine." And Granny even was still around to give Clarissa and I lots of good advice on raising our kids anytime we were down there. I'll never forget, you know, when the twins were so premature and we were trying to get them to eat and everything. And I remember Granny saying, you know, "You can't, don't just poke food down those kids. Don't just poke food down. I've never seen a kid yet that had food available that wouldn't eat if they were hungry." And then it's like, y'all need to feed these kids more. They're too skinny. You know, you just never. But Granny loved us and she was always there. My Granny, she mothered me and she modeled kindness and goodness in my life. And then, of course, Meemaw was super involved, or should I say super mean overly at times in my life. And you remember Meemaw, as long as she's able, coming up here. You know, Meemaw, I was her favorite. You guys did know that, right? She had said so. She'd even talk about, you know, saying who she's partial to, Actually, I don't think it was so much that I was actually her favorite. I was more like her special project. you know, that she could make me mind when no one else could, right? Here's something funny I just thought of. I'm waste too much time here, but, you know, Meemaw's real picky about everything, about, you know, cleanliness, keep your hands washed, you know, just I mean, she's on you about all that kind of stuff. Well, I inherited just a little bit of that because I was about 3 or 4 years old. I spent the night at Meemaw's house, and she had fixed all my favorite stuff for breakfast and my favorite cereal, and then I didn't eat much. And so she told Mama I wouldn't eat anything. She said, well, we'll find out if he's sick. I said, no, he didn't seem like it. And then my mom says to this day, she said, I asked you about it, and you said, how could I eat anything? She fingered all over it. She had put her hand in the cereal box and got the cereal out like that. And her being so picky, it was ironic that I wouldn't eat it because she put her hand on it. It's hilarious. I can remember, though, Meemaw was very frugal because no buying those wet wipes that are disposable. She had a washcloth, a damp, wash, soapy washcloth, and not going to waste money on those Ziploc bags because she saved every old bread sack that she had. And so, yes, I would be 13 years old pitching in Pony League baseball, and Meemaw did come to the dugout to clean my face off in front of my friends with that bread sack and that washcloth. It happened. And you know, when she was still alive in here, we talked about the fly swatter and things like that. She was being nice, or her memory was failing, because I did have fly swatter prints on my behind from time to time. She could swing a mean fly swatter, but you know what? Meemaw loved me, and she modeled kindness and goodness, and she mothered me. My Mamaw Moon was really about my age when she became a widow. I never knew my Papaw Moon. He died with tuberculosis just about a year or so before I was born. And she was not only a model of toughness and hard work and was an overcomer, but she's also kindness and goodness and just roll with the flow. I learned a lot from her and still learn. She's still alive. She's 98 years old and still living at home with just a little bit of help. And what a blessing that is. But she was only in her 20s. She was 16, I think, years old when her mother died, and she had to help raise her younger siblings. And then she got married not long. I mean, she didn't raise them very long. She got married. I mean, she's 14 when her mom died. About 16, she got married. And then she was in her early 20s when Papaw first came down with tuberculosis. But she's always been there and always helped mother us as well and show these qualities in our lives. I don't forget Mamaw Moon, because she was a widow. She would actually come spend the night at our house, even though she didn't live that far away. And she would tell us bedtime stories. Me and my brothers would fight over who got to sleep with Mamaw. But she'd gather us all in there, and she'd tell stories. My favorite was Three Little Pigs, because nobody else ever told it like Mamaw. I guarantee you, because, and I've told some of you this before, but I guarantee you, you didn't know what the big bad wolf said when he come down the chimney in the brick house and landed in the scalding pot that the pigs put there, did you? I know what he said, because Mamaw had that in her story. She knew what it was. When he landed in that pot, the old wolf hollered, "Ooh, tick bite, ooh, tick bite." Imagine me when I got to school and our teacher read that story in like first grade, and I held up my hand, "You didn't tell it right." And you know, amazing to me, no one else knew the story like they should. And as I said, I have an all-star mother in every way. And I'm so glad that God picked her to be my mother, because I would have never been smart enough to have picked one as good as her. She's a jewel. Big reason why I'm here today. I wouldn't be here today if it wasn't for my mom. I mean, more than just being born, right? Obviously. But I'm saying that I wouldn't be up here sharing the Word of God with you. I'd probably be someplace not so good if it wasn't for her influence in my life all the way through the years. I have clear memories of being a little guy sitting in her lap while she rocked me and sang to me, "How much is that doggie in the window? The one with the..." Is this getting awkward? Oh, I can remember her singing that. I can really remember that. I remember singing a song. It was like, "Goody, goody gumdrops, I'm going to the zoo." Nobody? Nobody? I'll have to have Mom come sing that sometime. I remember reading us Bible stories. I remember telling us, reading to us constantly. One of my favorites was "The House That Jack Built," right? "This is a maid that milked the cow with the crumpled horn, who kicked the dog, who worried the cat, who chased the rat, who ate the cheese, this and that, in the house that Jack built." My older brother hated that, but I think that's the reason why I liked it so much. Tell it again, Mom, because it would irritate him. I remember her coming into mine and Russ's bedroom at night, And I remember her coming in there and hugging us up close. And I can remember the smell of toothpaste on her breath as she said prayers with us. And she always told me that I was special. I was a middle child, but that meant I was special. I was different than the other two boys. I was special. And then later on, after I got grown, I was telling Russ how Mom used to always tell me that. He goes, wait a minute. She always told me, you're the baby, and you're special. You're not like the other boys and all that. And then my older brother said, well, she always told me, you're the firstborn. You're special. And so we were all special to Mom. But that's just the kind of mom that she is. And you know what? And I'm also blessed to have one of the best mother-in-laws in the world as well. In fact, I'm her favorite son-in-law. She has always told me that. Right? She's like, she knows what I'm saying. Yes. But I can remember those times and just the influence that you've had in my life and through the years from the very beginning of first, you know, when I married Clarissa, I didn't just get Clarissa. I got all these folks here. but what a blessing it's been in my life and how they've built in my life and how God has done a lot in my life through them. And I can remember those years, you know, we're way off out there in Oklahoma and had those little twins. And, you know, we kept praying, Lord, you said in your words you wouldn't put more on us than we can handle, right? What's the deal here? But I can remember her coming out there and staying with us and helping us and just continuing to be a blessing. And I want you to know that she encourages me all the time, every day. And I appreciate that, and I thank God for it. Then as a 22-year-old, I came to Hartville with a wife and three kids already. And you know what I found? I found that there was several here who mothered me, or as I've said in times past, they grandmothered me. You know, and if I start naming names, I'm going to forget, but the first two that would pop in my mind would be Algie and Marie. Yeah? I can remember being a young guy thinking, Lord, I don't know what I'm going to do when we lose these precious. I mean, they mothered so many. You know, that's why you Helsleys are so blessed. You know that? You know that? You are. And what a blessing that they were to me because, and then there's Bertha, Lily, Sybil, and there's just a whole countless number of older ladies that, and most of them were widows when I came or shortly after I came, and they did. They weren't just old ladies from the church. They mothered me. They displayed kindness and goodness that impacted my life and helped me to be who I am today. And so I'm just giving this whole big 15-minute or so testimony about how God has used the model of this through, and I'm just so blessed, you know it? To whom much is given, much is required, though. I'm accountable because there's been a lot of people never had anything like what I've had. I just want to praise God, and I want to thank God for all these women that he put in my life that have been building the character of Christ in me and modeled that and made it where I can understand it better. And I want that to be passed on. But when I think about this fruit of the Spirit, kindness and goodness, let's do a little Bible study time now. How about that? All right, let's jump into the Word for just a moment, and let's take a look at this. As I said, kindness and goodness is modeled. Kindness, as I said, it's rendered gentleness in the Old King James. But this is the only place that Greek word is translated gentleness in the Old King James, if that's what you're using. Five times the King James translates it as goodness or good. See, I told you kindness, gentleness, and goodness are all interrelated, didn't I? Because five times the King James actually translates that word as good or goodness. Four times it's translated as kindness, which is what I'm using mostly here, kindness. I want to know what these words mean. I want to look at the original. I want to know what they mean because God says, I want to pour this into your life. Kindness, I think, does describe it well. Although are you listening? It is a kindness that is displayed in a gentle manner. That's where the gentleness part comes in. It is being a kind. It comes from the Greek word krestos, which literally, I think this is a good way to look at it. It means moral excellence that benefits and builds up others, and it's displayed in a gentle manner. You know when someone's kind or not. I mean, my goodness, little kids are a great judge of that. They know when there are people who are kind and tender. And then there are people who are harsh, and they steer away from those. It's a goodness, you know, and it expresses itself in action by deeds that you do. In Colossians chapter 3, verse 12 is a place, and I highlight it so you can see where it's used. And it is this word right here. He says, therefore, as the elect of God, as chosen people of God, holy and beloved. Did you know that? You're holy, you're separated, and you're beloved of God. Put on tender mercies. That's what we're talking about here. Tender mercies, that's part of this kindness, gentleness. That's why he says kindness, humility, meekness. We're going to get to that word later in a few weeks. Long-suffering, we already talked about that. Bearing with one another. What is this kindness that the Holy Spirit wants to put in our heart? What does it help us do? He tells us it helps us put up with each other. Yeah, I'm going to need this. You're going to need this. Bearing with one another. And it's also going to help us do something else that we're going to have to do because all of us have got problems. All of us are going to have failures. All of us are going to have bad days and offend one another. And we're going to have to forgive each other if we're going to benefit from the family of God, right, and be a part of it. Because he says, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against each other, even as Christ forgave you, so you must also do that. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Maynard. Appreciate that. It's also, this kindness is a quality of God. It is a quality of God. In Titus, and I'm going to throw quite a few verses at you here real quick, and I apologize for that because I don't want to confuse you. I hope you'll write some of them down and meditate on them later. You don't have to remember everything I said, but if you meditate on these verses, God's going to do a work in your heart. In Titus 3:4, this word, krestos, is used. He says in Titus 3:4, but after that, the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared. And that's in the King James, the kindness and love. And that's the same word that's translated gentleness here. It's kindness. So we're trying to get an idea of how it's used that helps me understand in English what this word involves, see? The kindness and love of God. Our Savior has appeared. God has poured out his love. And see, all of these flow out of the first part of the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace. Everything flows from love. But out of that love flows kindness of God through Christ. He goes on to say, you know, that we can't establish our own righteousness, but it's according to his mercy that he saved us. In the next verse, you go and read that when you get home. But it is a quality of God. This is something God has. He wants to pour into our life. He is the source of it.